In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Can you probably understand why the Romans and the Jews originally thought that Christians ate human beings? What a gospel lesson, right? We've listened to a flow of scriptures this morning with Proverbs. It was written by Solomon. Remember, he was the wisest man who ever lived. He described holy wisdom as a yearning for us to seek her out. And Paul was writing to the church that he loved in Ephesus, writing that living with wisdom involves you and me being filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. And now Jesus is teaching how we can live by godly wisdom. So let's dig into it. This is the third Sunday that we've had gospel lessons talking about bread. But today Jesus is adding a challenge. Instead of only describing himself as the bread of life, it's now time for his listeners to make a commitment. He said, "Unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And every time I read that, it makes me immediately go to a prayer that is part of the Eucharistic prayer for Rite One. And there's actually a name for that prayer. It's the Prayer of Humble Access is the title given to that prayer. It's on page 337 in the Book of Common Prayer. And it says, "Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us." Well, there's a side of me that every time I read that, I cringe. But at the same time, I'm drawn to it. And we know that the consumption of blood was forbidden by Jewish law. You can read in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 10, that's saying that there will not be blood in meat that's eaten. It's to hang first so the blood can drain. So people were not expected to offend God by consuming blood. So for Jesus to make this strong of a statement and so impactful, he must be telling us something really important that we should be paying attention to about this business of eating flesh and drinking blood. For 2 weeks, we have heard Jesus describe himself as the bread of life. And he used that term to explain that he wants you and me to take him into ourselves as spiritual nourishment. So rather than worrying about something that'll keep us, our bellies fed for the day, he wants us to take him in for spiritual nourishment and to depend on him all day long. Jesus wants a relationship with us that's going to be stronger than the pull of material things, for instance. And I used the example this morning. Oh, I was going to bring it out to show you, and I didn't bring it. For my anniversary, Ruth decided, she knows how much I love material things. So this is a very pertinent point for me. And I love techie things. Well, I think this is the ultimate techie thing. I showed it at Coffee Hour. I have a coffee cup that's a temperature-controlled coffee cup, so that when you pour your coffee in it, it'll maintain a temperature of 130 degrees. And I can check on the temperature because I have an app in my iPhone that lets me monitor how it's doing it, keeping my coffee at exactly the right temperature. It's like the ultimate techie gift, and I really love it. But it can't be the most important thing. Jesus wants a relationship with us that's stronger than the pull of having comfort with a checklist of rules that fulfill our commitment to live a godly life. God wants us to have a new heart. God is not worried about us checking off a checklist. God is deeply concerned where our heart is. And It's about having a more deeply rooted faith than the faith that we have if we're only looking for the spiritual highs. They don't happen very often. I know I've had three in my life spiritual highs, and some people are still waiting for their spiritual high to happen to them. And that shouldn't be what our whole faith journey is about. They're great to have, but we need to have something more deeply rooted than just that. In today's passage, Jesus explains that by feeding on him, meaning certainly spiritually and not physically, there's a relationship that's being forged. And it's being forged not just with him, but with God the Father. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I abide in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." So we're back to this idea of what abiding means. And he's saying that this eating his flesh and eating his blood is really about having him live inside us so that he abides in us and we can abide in him. So we're back to this word abiding. And I can understand a level of abiding that we see in marriages that are strong, or in relationships, in friendships that work really well over a long period of time. You can take on another person's needs as if they were your own needs. You're willing to protect that person from physical or emotional harm. And part of that relationship means that you know deep in your heart they would do the same for you. Right, that's an abiding kind of relationship. I think of an example that Ruth and I have been able to share. You know, we just ended up celebrating our 52nd wedding anniversary, and you know, there are a number of times we've felt that abiding. And a major example I think of in my life. It was about 10 years ago that we were having an outside concert, and I decided that I was going to single-handed take down one of these big outdoor speakers for our AV system off the stand it was on. Didn't ask for any help. I don't need help. I'm fine. So it landed on my leg, and I thought I broke my leg. And I ended up having to be carried to the car, went to the emergency room. I was there till 2 in the morning. And Ruth was with me every minute. She saw the stupid accident. She was with me in the car as we went to the emergency room. And at about midnight, I said, "You know, Ruth, this is not critical care. This is just a dumb thing. And eventually, the real critical care people will be taken care of. And, you know, I don't want you to, you know, be exhausted. So why don't you go home and get some rest?" Her answer was, "I need to be here. I need to be here." What a powerful example of abiding. And I know she knows I would feel the same way. So there's this abiding of a marriage relationship, abiding in relationships. Jesus is asking us to consider an abiding that is at a whole new level. And it involves the bond he and God the Father have. Jesus wants you and me to move into that higher level of relationship with him so that we're growing past the prayers of asking for our daily need. That's fine to do, but he wants us to move past that. He wants us to feed on him. He wants us to give him a home inside us. And when we do that, he takes up residence in our lives. And he feeds us spiritually. This really gets us into the language that we can see that connects between Jesus talking about the body and blood of Christ and us talking about the bread and the wine of the Eucharist, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious that there's a parallel there that is in this scripture. And as a sacramental people, we are not, as the Protestant churches look at it, as a memorial, remembering what Jesus did. We as a sacramental people recognize that, but we also say, more importantly, that we recognize the spiritual power that lies within the physical act of eating the bread and drinking the wine of the Holy Eucharist. Jesus invites us to come together to feed on him in the Holy Eucharist. His invitation is to take him into ourselves, to feed on him in our spirits, just like we're feeding on the physical bread and wine. We're feeding on him and allowing him to abide in us, to give us spiritual wisdom, to empower our lives in a new way. Well, so the Holy Eucharist is a formal way that we take in Christ, asking him to abide in us and for us to abide in him. But, you know, I'm more of a Celtic persuasion than a Roman persuasion. You know, the Roman look at sacraments is that there are the seven sacraments that the Church administers, and that's all good. That's right. The dominical sacraments, the two that Jesus specifically said we should do are baptism and Holy Communion. The other five, there's a total of seven, the other five are important, and I get they're an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace. That's what we learn in catechism. But, you know, the idea of the Celtic theology is, yes, we get all that, but, you know, God created everything, and every step along the way, God said, this is good. And so God's handprint is in every piece of creation. And the Celtic theology is saying that if we pay attention to everything in creation, it becomes a channel to God's grace. And so I'm a firm believer there are millions of sacraments. There are millions of ways that we can experience that channel to God's grace. And anytime you get a chance to be a window for someone else to recognize the presence and the love and the grace of God, you are a sacrament. Each of you is a sacrament. So there are sacraments I think we're called to surround ourselves with as a sacramental people. A Christian token on the ring of our keychain. Did I bring? Yep, it's in my pocket here if I can get at it. So I always carry on my keychain a Christian symbol. This one ends up having to be a labyrinth, the design in the Chartres Cathedral. And I have that with me all the time. In a little thing that I carry my change in, I have a pocket coin so that when I'm trying to pay with change at a store, my hand has a Christian symbol in it, along with the pocket change. We can have a copy of Forward Day by Day on our kitchen table so that when we sit down for our bowl of cereal, there's an easy way for us to have a daily scripture and a short reflection for us to start our day with. I have an app on my phone, the YouVersion app, which is free, that has something like 300 Bible studies in it, all free. It has about 30 or 40 English translations of the Bible in it, all free. So easy access. We have a wall sconce in the hallway between our kitchen and living room. So anytime we have prayer thoughts of prayers for someone, we light the candle on that wall sconce. So every time we walk through the house, it reminds us to pray. I brought an Anglican rosary that was given to me once. And I'm not so good at, I'm not very disciplined at saying the rosary, but I do have this hanging on the lamp on my desk in my office at home. And I love looking at it. And it's surrounding me with a knowledge of Christ's presence in my life. What else do I have down here? Oh, I have a playlist in my car. So I can play K-Love music, or I can play Christian music in the car. We can have a decal in the rear window of our car so that when we look in the rearview mirror, we see that reminder. You know, these are not just ways for us to witness to other people. These are ways for you and me to be reminded that God abides in us. I think that's what being a sacramental people is about. We want to be surrounded by those physical reminders, the stained glass, right? And the candles and the incense. Think about new and creative ways to immerse yourself in Jesus Christ, to keep aware of him throughout your day, to invite him into yourself, and for you to abide in him, and for him to abide in you. Amen.